Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome to the Leaking Timeline, my friends, the show where we regularly ski the steepest couloirs of technology and culture for your listening pleasure. I'm Eric Newton, and I'm sitting here with my dear friend, Guy Singstock. Hey, Guy.
Good to see you.
You too.
On that place, on the timeline, where time itself leaks.
The Leaking Timeline. Here we are.
Yeah.
You know, today I've got an old friend. I've invited Logan Allen to join the show today. Now, I think you've met Logan too.
Yeah.
Do you remember actually meeting him? It was one of our company retreats that you came to, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right. So let me set the stage a bit. So when I first started working at this startup that we were so passionate and excited about that was focused on decentralized technology, I was not a technical guy. I was I came in to be the chief operating officer, not an engineer. And so I went out and tried to learn everything that I could from the team about how our technology really, really worked and what its possibilities really, really were. And I got great answers from everybody. Everybody was very focused on, making sure the entire team was up-leveled. But these conversations that I had with Logan Allen, at the time, Logan was the juniorest engineer on the team. I think he might have even actually technically have been an intern.
Yes.
And
was he still in high school at that?
I don't even think he finished college. He was so young. I mean, it's not fair to call him a kid anymore, but at the time he was a kid, right?
Yeah.
But we had the best conversations. He gave me so much actionable intel about what was happening at the company, with our technology, with culture at large. And the funny thing about Logan is he expresses his viewpoints with more conviction than you can possibly imagine. I hope we get some of that today. And the funny thing about that conviction is sometimes he's absolutely dead wrong. But man, when he is right, whoo, he is so right. So I'm looking forward to one of those conversations with him today.
Right on.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages for our conversation with Logan Allen on the Leaking Timeline.
Kohl's Black Friday deals are here. Grab your coffee and put on your sneakers because it's go time. Through Saturday, save up to 50% on everything from toys to beauty faves, winter styles, and more. Plus, earn $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Yep, that's extra Kohl's cash. So run, don't walk. Just hold on tight to that coffee. Select styles, some exclusions apply. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. Offers end November 29th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Have you suffered sports betting losses? There is someone who wants to fight for you to see you get back what you have lost to those sports betting companies. Michael Watts is a prolific trial lawyer with over $11 billion in total recoveries for his clients. And now with sportsbettingclaim.com, he'd like to help you. Michael has been a leader in some of the largest and most complex cases in the country, from defective cars and tires to damaging drugs and medical products. He has always represented the rights of individuals harmed by large corporations. His efforts recently resulted in the recovery of billions for individuals who lost their properties to fires carelessly caused by electric companies and others. Michael knows that sports betting companies preyed on and manipulated consumers into losing their life savings, and he wants to make them pay. If you have suffered financial hardship as a result of online sports betting and would like help seeking compensation, please submit your claim information for evaluation at sportsbettingclaim.com. Michael Watts is focused on winning for you. Sportsbettingclaim.com.
Blue sky.
Some people think nature is like this, but actually, it's like this. Mother Nature's not all sunshine and rainbows. Nature can be hotter than a sauna and colder than an Arctic skinny dip. That's why Columbia engineers everything we make for anything nature can throw at you. Columbia, engineered for whatever.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline, my friends. We're here in studio today with Logan Allen from Nochchain. Now, I think before I say hi to you, Logan, I think I should have mentioned in the intro that when you left the company where I met you, you went off to start one startup. That went extremely well. You passed it on to a management team, and then you started a second startup that you're now the CEO of that's also going extremely well. Did I have that basically right?
Yes, sir. That is about right. Hey, Eric. Nice to see you again.
Logan, it's so good to have you here. I'm grateful you made the time. How's things?
Things are wild. The whole world is changing so fast, even faster than when we were working together back in the good old days.
It's like our good friend Andy Bromberg used to say, the great weirdening is increasing.
It's so funny to see the rate at which internet culture and the rate at which just the stuff that nerds do or talk about start to become the overall culture.
Yeah, it moves so fast now, doesn't it? Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And it always starts off on that edge. It's like, oh, here's a weirdo again saying something. What are they talking about? Oh, crypto, that's just crazy. What? And then all of a sudden, boom. You know, JP Morgan's investing trillions of dollars, right? Yeah.
Sure. Or right now with NVIDIA, the entire economy is a levered bet that we're going to make sand really smart and make these transistors make all the white collar workplace just change completely and make everybody super productive so that all the asset prices can get big and that we're going to expand the whole energy grid and build all these data centers. And the entire economy is levered up on this bet.
As mediated by a gaming chip company, right?
Absolutely crazy. And NVIDIA's prominence and ability to do all that mass production in the first place started with gaming.
Yeah.
But then was really bootstrapped heavily by crypto mining.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Was it really?
Yes, because they started making the first crypto miners.
And so, it was really that crypto miners just started buying as many of their products as they could possibly get, which allowed them to up their scale.
Right.
And as they upped their scale, well, people started using them more seriously for AI at a scale they hadn't been doing before.
Right. And for those who aren't familiar, it's because what NVIDIA was doing was making GPUs, which is graphics processing units, which were used for rendering the massive graphic needs that the video games had. And then people realized, wait, GPUs are also useful for solving these math puzzles that are what we do to mine crypto, like Bitcoin. And so they're like, hey, why don't we just use GPUs to mine Bitcoin? And then boom, it went from there.
That's exactly right. It's crazy the way that these feedback loops of technology accelerating and entrepreneurial processes continuing to discover new uses and new applications of these technologies continue to just eat the world at a radically increasing pace.
And then it just becomes normal for people.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I mean, given that, what's the thing that's incredibly weird and nuts right now that is going to be completely normal in 3, 6, 9 months?
Well, right now, everything's becoming fake. Everything is becoming fake right now. AI is making everything fake. The news is making everything fake. All of these processes in this world that we live in, which is increasingly digitally mediated, are becoming increasingly fake. There's no way to know if the written word that you read or the printed word that you read in a book was made by a human. There's no way to know if it was made by a computer, just some unthinking machine, just emulating things it's seen in the past. And there's no way to know if a video that you watch actually happened or not, even if it looks like it's a surveillance camera video. There's no way to know if an image is real. There's no way to know if a text message is from a real person or a call or a voice you hear over the phone is actually your family member. As a company, there's no way to know if data in your logs came there a real event that happened or was inserted by a hacker.
Yeah.
There's no way to know what's true as soon as you're interacting with the digital anymore.
Well, you know, I feel like every time we realize something like that, the answer is always lean in, don't try to back out, right? I mean, I always use the analogy of like surfing or skiing or something. If you get scared of that speed, you are done. You're done. You have to lean into the speed. That's the only way to find the balance. And the thing about humanity is we never back out of new technologies. We always accelerate, push on the gas. But this is a tricky one. We all want to know what's true. How do you lean into everything's becoming fake?
Well, so this is really the kicker in my view, which is there's very powerful technologies that are rather esoteric at this time and juncture that let us verify any digital process and make any digital process something that's transparent, auditable, and true. And in my view, the big asymmetric bet to be made right now as a side effect of cyber attacks getting more and more meaningful and more devastating, and as a side effect of AI making everything fake, is that digital processes have to be verified for our civilization to continue and pass on any semblance of connection to even history. To the new generations, because even history can be fabricated now.
What does verification even mean in that context?
Yeah, totally.
Well, on the one hand, you can have authorities that say this is true because we said it is and we signed it and you can verify our signature.
Yeah.
But on the other end, you can create a proof that a digital process really occurred, or you can create a proof that a sensor really did read some data. And so these proofs are called zero knowledge proofs, which means that they can obscure or hide some of the data that they're proving, such that you can really provide public transparent records without revealing some sensitive information. And these proofs are extremely powerful cryptography that allow any digital process, any computer program, to be verified and for you to know that it did exactly what it said it was supposed to do.
Yeah. Is that possible now?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's possible right now.
How come it's not happening?
That's a great question. So with any new technological capability, there's always a frontier of what's possible. And then there's the question of what can we do with it right now that makes dollars and cents? Where you can start getting that technology adopted, normalized, and more widely understood. Because in my view, the definition of technology, it's really something that gives you leverage. It is something that gives you this big asymmetrical leverage over reality that lets you do more and win better. And so a technological capability is really only interesting to people insofar as it lets them win more in some capacity. So you have to find that first few niches that you can apply the technology in and get big wins. And that lets you start to explain better instead of having this weird abstract, well, we got this weird math over here. Instead of that being the story, you can say, well, we gave those guys a big win. We can give you a big win too. And you get to start applying that process to more and more things. In the same way that we just talked about GPUs, nobody really knew what they were going to be good for at first. They were kind of, let's make this chip for video games. Then let's make it for crypto miners. And now it's, let's build our whole economy on it.
This is why we observe this phenomenon over and over, that any new internet technology usually gets traction in one of the areas we're sort of ashamed about. It's like gambling, mm-hmm. or porn, for goodness sakes, or, you know, financial services also. And so they get traction in one of these areas that we don't want to pay attention to, and then it takes over. All right, well, that's a good place to take a break. We'll come back in a few minutes with more from Logan Allen on The Leaking Timeline.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Welcome back. Your timeline is still leaking. It's Eric and Guy here. We're talking to Logan Allen today. And you can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. We would love to hear from you. Now, Logan, you were just saying that any of these new technologies always get their toehold in some niche area and then expand from there, and then the entire economy is based on them. So where are ZK proofs, or not even ZK proofs, but where is proving the truth technology getting its toehold right now in this weird context we're in where nothing is true anymore?
Well, proving what's true right now is mostly valuable in crypto, because in crypto, there's a lot of different applications that want to be able to do lots and lots of transactions, but don't want to have to pay for all of those transactions. They just want to be able to prove to you that the transactions were done. So things like exchanges or prediction markets, which are getting rather popular, these types of use cases want to do lots and lots of activities, but they don't want to have to pay for all of on some blockchain that's enforcing fees for all the applications.
You mean they just don't want to have to pay the transaction fees?
That's right. They don't want to have to pay all those transaction fees.
Yeah, I guess that's always true. The lower the transaction fee, the better. We don't even want to pay transaction fees or our credit cards.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And so right now, the first place where this technology has already been adopted over the past couple of years has been to reduce transaction fees for these types of applications. And so the next big arena that's really picking up a lot of steam right now is, as I mentioned, these proofs are really good both for providing transparent and auditable records of truth, but they're also really good at revealing and hiding sensitive information. So hiding sensitive information and revealing what's true. And so those are also being used for privacy. So for being able to do private transactions on some of these blockchains as well, which I think goes to point toward what you were saying, which is it's often some of these areas where there can be different elements that society kind of shoves to the side that people that first get started with these new technologies.
Yeah. Yes, right. Because private transactions are considered kind of scary. Why do you need privacy? But of course, everybody needs privacy in their financial transactions at some point. It's actually a completely useful thing for human sovereignty and autonomy. So that's where it gets its start.
It'd be pretty weird if everybody knew how much money was in your bank account at all times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and so what you're saying is blockchains have been effective for just proving truth, like X wallet owns Y amount of Bitcoin. That's a true thing. We can establish that it's true because of a blockchain. But then you layer on a ZK proof, and it allows you to create privacy in that transaction too. A ZK proof is essentially being able to say something like, hey, I am 21, but I'm not going to show you my ID. You can prove that you're 21, but you don't have to show the ID. It's something
right.
like that. Okay.
Or I am a U.S. citizen, but I'm not going to share my passport.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or I do have X amount of wealth, but I'm not going to show you the exact number, and that gets you into some sort of a club or something.
Right.
That's right. Or I am an accredited investor. I meet the requirements.
Yes, right.
So are we talking about as this spreads, right, and verification becomes even more important, as it goes into like media and videos and those kinds of things, are we talking about, do you foresee some kind of blockchain-like thing that verifies a video, or that this is a legitimate person that you're listening to? What do you see there?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be different roots of truth, I think is how they're going to be thought of.
Different roots of truth.
Yeah, so I think some of these things are going to be blockchains. I think there's going to be some blockchains, maybe even just one, that acts as a global root of truth for any digital process that you care about.
What
and I think that people are going to assume are going to start assuming that anything that they see on their computer, maybe even any printed media that they can't verify, they're going to assume that it's not real.
I mean, I'm already there. I see a video on, on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, that's probably AI generated. Yeah.
What does that do to a child?
Yeah. I do ask myself that all the time with my four-year-old.
Right.
What should I even let her have access to?
Right.
She and this is a thing that you and I used to talk about all the time, is that we don't have the antibodies yet. Our generation, we don't have the antibodies, the kind of intellectual protective mechanisms to protect us from these kinds of information attacks. But the little ones, they're going to have to develop those antibodies, and we're going to have to give them the tools to be able to do it. And this is one of those.
And I think that this is one of the things that's rather scary, is there's such a large number of people that I think don't truly understand yet that technology, it's not necessarily good. It's not necessarily bad either, but it's a tool, and that tool is either being used to empower you and yours, or it's being used to trap you and yours into different addictive loops of attention, of addictive loops of debt, like from sports betting and things along these lines, and from a variety of different incentives. And technology just lets people build their own incentives,
yeah,
which can be good or can be very, very bad.
And I'm wondering, is one of the bad things, see, when I look at it, from what I can see just by people's behavior, is it seems like they don't actually care about it being real or true. It's like there's a sense in which, if you ask them, I'm imagining you ask most people, do you want to know that's real? They'd probably abstractly go, well, yeah. But based on their behavior online, politically, all these different kinds of things, it seems like, I'm wondering if people have formed a kind of immunity to the desire for the truth.
Yeah, what do you think, Logan? Do we even care?
Do we care about what's true?
Yeah.
I think that particularly when you talk about politics, that's actually a very interesting, I think, example of this type of emergent mechanisms for determining what's true, right? Because in many ways, I think a lot of these people are making explicit choices to opt in to different kind of, I don't even know how to quite call it, alternate realities, where their belief is that this person is going to tell them what's true, and so they're going to believe what they say, and that person is going to be effectively their root of truth.
Yeah. Right. Yes. We outsource the root of truth to other people who are authorities for us.
Yeah.
That's the tribal thing. Yeah. That's an ages-old survival mechanism that we've used forever. And you're saying we need to upgrade that.
Yeah. We're not going to get rid of it. We need to make it better.
Yeah.
So what do you tell your family, your non-technical, non-entrepreneurial family who isn't involved in crypto or blockchains or ZK proofs or anything? They're just people living out in the world. How do you develop immune systems in them?
I don't know how. I know how for my immediate family who like to deeply engage on these matters, but most people, they are doing what they're doing, and it's for you to accept and love them and deal with the idiosyncrasies that come from all the different media environments and all the different sense making apparatuses that people have these days.
You know, let me offer I think I see what you do. I've always seen what you do. What I've noticed about you is that you care deeply about family. You've always done so. You care deeply about your community. And what drives you to build what you build is essentially solutions for your community. I think that you're building the mechanisms to protect the people who aren't paying attention to this stuff because it's the right thing to do and it can make you money. Yeah, but I think you're doing it because it's how you protect your community. Is that right?
I think on a my wife always laughs because she says, I talk about things as long term when it's like 2 years out.
That's so true.
Short term to me is like next week. Medium term is like in a couple of months. So yes, long term in a few years, I think that these tools could have spread in an exponential way and can really change the way that we interact with the digital.
Yeah. You know, you said something at the outset of our conversation, which was that the asymmetric bet is to invest in technologies that kind of establish these roots of truth. An asymmetric bet suggests that people can make that bet, though. How should people actually make that bet now?
Well, there are a few different sets of tools that people are building zero knowledge proofs around. There's these different ways of building with zero knowledge proofs, and there's different blockchains and different companies building and using these tools. And I'm working on one of them. I'm working on a project called Knockchain, in which there's a blockchain in which miners, just like in Bitcoin, build zero knowledge proofs as fast as they possibly can to compete to get block rewards. And I took a step back and I looked at the whole zero knowledge proof space a few years ago and I said, this is a really good technology. Who's going to build the incentive that makes zero knowledge proofs cheap and ubiquitous?
The answer, of course, is you.
Yes.
We'll be right back after these messages to learn about how you're doing it on The Leaking Timeline.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to the Leaking Timeline. We're talking to Logan Allen from Knockchain today. You can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. Give us a call. Now, Logan, I know I queued you up for a tricky response. You're basically, how the heck can people make such an asymmetric bet? And actually, the answer is basically, well, it's a very asymmetric bet and it's early days. So you got to invest in maybe a crypto or a blockchain. And that's tough for you because you're working on one and you've got to sort of answer objectively. But really, though, I mean, if people, not to give investment advice, but I'm always asking the question, how do I make the best asymmetric bet? Like, how do I do it?
There's different chains that build with this zero knowledge proof technology that are orienting around being new roots of truth. Yeah. To be totally clear, I think we're the only ones that are using that type of language.
The root
or
of truth
that really
language.
Understand that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But there's various crypto projects that are building with zero knowledge proofs, and overall the first place where this technology is being realized is in the crypto space.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's the cutting bleeding edge. If you want to take massive risk and have possibly asymmetric upside, that's the place to do it at the moment. Okay. Now this is a good pivot point to some assertions I've seen you making on Twitter about money. Now, in the past, you've said that Bitcoin is a very effective money. First off, do you still stand behind those previous assertions? Is Bitcoin good money? And if so, why?
I do think Bitcoin is good money. I think as time goes on, I have become a little less hard-headed, if you can believe it, about the issue. I think that There's many ways that people store value. There's many different kind of utilities that these instruments can provide, and some of them do have a monetary premium, which is that people view them as being better monies for some reason or another. Maybe they're more fungible. Maybe they're known to be scarce. Maybe people are known to value them particularly. Gold here is an example.
Right.
It's valued above and beyond its industrial uses and has been for many decades and centuries. And I've been thinking more and more as different monies have become digital. Both fiat currencies from nations are digital to an increasing degree. They're getting rid of the penny. They're probably going to get rid of the nickel. They're moving in general towards a world in which the numbers on the screen are your money,
right?
Even at the state and national levels. But Bitcoin as a money is provably scarce. There's only ever going to be so much of it. And it also provides this very convenient way to transact with it. Now, Bitcoin has gotten such a vast amount of adoption now from institutions. And in many ways, it's likely, in my view, to continue following its adoption curve. But it has technical limitations. This is not controversial. Anyone in the Bitcoin community will agree and tell you Bitcoin is not meant to scale for everyone in the world to be able to use. It's not meant, in their view, to be a cash-like substitute. It's not meant for applications or for developers or for software or for programs to build on top of. They desire it to just do one thing, which is to be able to move large sums of money occasionally.
Yeah, it's like a digital store of value. It's digital gold. Stick it in a vault, leave it there. Don't spend it. Don't even try. Use other things to spend.
Yeah, that's the way that they've described it and the way that they've built it. Now, for me, I think being a store of value is more about being a scarce commodity that's launched and built upon a fair, known set of transparent values. I think that Bitcoin epitomizes those traits. Mm-hmm. I don't think that its lack of monetary velocity, to me, has anything to do with its quality as a store of value.
Right. Yeah. The fact that people aren't spending it doesn't mean it's not good money. The fact that people believe in it and that it's scarce makes it good money.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So then pivoting from there, you've made this is the crazy thing. You're a Bitcoiner, but you've actually, and most Bitcoiners will say, not only is Bitcoin sound money, it's the only sound money. That's kind of like Bitcoin maximalist perspective. We had Robert Breedlove on the show last week, and that was his perspective. Look, it's just Bitcoin, Bitcoin only. Everything else is junk, and everything else is eventually going to go away, and it's just going to be Bitcoin. But you're making a separate assertion, which is, Bitcoin is great money. I can make a better one.
Yeah. That's the bet. That's the exact bet.
Let's hear it. Okay. It's so bold. It's so bold.
How are you feeling on that bet? About that bet right now?
Feels pretty good. We've, in 6 months, materialized 9 figures out of thin air. Feels good.
That's insane. Wow. But why is your money better money than Bitcoin? I mean, Bitcoin's great money. What's the problem here?
So in my view, it's as great as it can be used for. So I've talked a lot about the world, and especially in the digital, is increasingly oriented around what's true.
Yeah.
And traditionally, good monies have been great, scarce commodities that are easily fungible and usable. But they generally also have some industrial use and some commodity use. Hmm. And what could be more useful in a world where everything is fake and can be hacked than truth and security?
Yeah, than proving truth.
Yeah, than proving truth and proving security. So if you have some commodity, let's say a proof and a coin that you can get only by making many, many proofs, then in my view, this capacity to create truth in a world where truth is becoming increasingly scarce. Well, I think just truth is the new money.
Truth is the new money.
Truth is the new money.
I mean, people in the Bitcoin world say energy is money. You know,
energy is a great money. It's right? Useful.
Yeah, and Bitcoin's a nice instantiation of it. And you're saying, separate from or in addition to energy being money, truth is money.
Well, we are built around a proof of work function that uses energy in an objective way, mm-hmm. but it uses energy in a useful way to create truth instead of just burning it like Bitcoin does. So we've taken what Bitcoin does and we've taken it a step further. We use the energy to create something useful, to create proofs.
Mm-hmm. Just so I know, and I think I'm asking for the listeners as well. Proofs of what exactly?
Of any computer program that it did what it was supposed to do. A transparent, auditable record that you can take wherever you want and put it somewhere and someone can verify it easily and quickly and say, yep, that's what the computer program did. I know it's true.
Yeah, it did what it was supposed to do. Nothing else, nothing less, nothing more. Now, how does that translate into just a really mundane example, a video? You see a video, you want to know if it's a recording, if it's a factual recording of a thing that happened, or if it's a fabricated thing made by AI. How is this going to help you with that?
Well, videos today are made by cameras, and cameras can be analog or digital. So if you're taking a video and you want to know if it's really true, then you want to know that the light, the optical signals that came into that camera were directly translated and encoded into the file, mm-hmm. exactly as they happened. Mm-hmm. And so you could prove that because it's a digital process. And zero-knowledge proofs can be used to verify any digital process. So you could verify that that video was really imported, encoded from the recording of the light that actually happened and went into that camera. And there's increasingly even more cutting edge research on verifiable sensors so that you could have a verifiable sensor feed verified sensor data, right? Verified recording directly into this digital process for transcoding. And so what we're going to end up with is full chains of custody for video, for audio, for everything.
Yeah. Sensors meaning motion detectors, light sensors, carbon monoxide sensors, every possible kind of sensor that you can imagine, it can be verified. Does that require some special hardware in these physical devices, or does it require just a software layer? How is that going to be initially instantiated?
It's going to start as a software layer that lets you take things like analog and transcribe it into digital accurately in a guaranteed way. And then over time, I think we're going to get lower and lower toward that hardware level. Just like in cybersecurity, how there's kind of an arms race between hackers and the white hat guys that are trying to help and defend everything. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be an arms race around creating lies and creating truth.
Yeah. You can imagine it just continually getting more sophisticated on both ends. Like, well, okay, now we can verify the light came into the camera, but what if we could manipulate the light? And it just keeps going from there. And then there's a response to that. And that's how we develop technologies. It's complete. It's always this counter punch, this 1-2 process. Well, Logan, it's so tricky.
Yeah.
You know, if, and so you're still trying to get a toehold though, right? Like what's your bet about the place to get that first traction for Nockchain such that people start actually using it at scale?
I think you got to start with eating your potatoes. You got to start somewhere simple. Just get some decentralized finance applications. They're super cheap and easy to use as proofs of concept. Get some people trading stuff. And then once you've got that, I think, frankly, there's an enterprise sales motion. I think there's an enterprise sales motion around, frankly, super boring stuff around cybersecurity, logging, access control, proving that all's good on the compliance side.
Right, because if it's clean on the compliance side, if the banks rely on it, if the banks rely on it to prove identity and transactions and data security, the boring stuff that nobody wants to have to think about, but if they're using it, it gets hardened, it gets made real, and then the rest of us can start using it for interesting things like videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. People have been talking about using it for videos for a long... Well, people have been talking about finding a way to make videos verifiable for a long time, but yeah. I don't think anybody's actually even started on that yet, have
yeah.
they? Is there
yeah.
anybody doing that now?
No, but I think it's when videos... I think... right now, it's like I don't see a whole lot of like fake videos that I'm aware of, obviously.
That's the opposite.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God, everything's fake, as he said.
Yeah.
You know, right now we still can tell if it's slop, you know, or you get a sense of it.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Logan, that's a good place to take a break. We'll be right back with more from Logan Allen on Your Leaking Timeline. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647. Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Welcome back, my friends. The timeline does continue to leak. We're here with Logan Allen today from Knockchain, talking about all things truth and crypto. Huge topics. And I just want to say to our listeners, we're about to pivot here, you know, in the next couple of minutes over to the podcast recording portion of the show. And you can find the podcast at leakingtimeline.com. We're going to be releasing all of the episodes in one giant dump here in a couple of weeks. And you'll be able to listen to all the back episodes and all the extra recordings that we capture here on the show. So we're going to ask Logan, I think, a lot more about truth, a lot more about the weirdness of crypto investing when we start the crypto podcast portion of the show. But Logan, you know, in these last couple minutes, why don't you tell us, first of all, where are you writing these days? Are you writing on Substack or Twitter or anything like that?
We write on knockchain.org mostly. We have a newsletter.
And that's knockchain.org, right?
That's right. Okay. That's knockchain.org.
Okay. But you do have a Twitter. I've always loved your Twitter account.
Yes, I do have a Twitter. It's Logan Z-O-R-P, Zorp.
Logan Zorp. I should say you have an X handle.
That's a new thing. I still call it Twitter too.
I can't not do it. Okay. And if people want to learn more about your particular project, they should go to the website. And if they want to hear your crazy perspectives on philosophy in the future, check out Twitter. Is there anything else people should look at?
That's the good stuff.
Okay.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. You know what we've never done on this show, Guy? We've never plugged our own Twitter accounts. What's yours? Yeah.
It's at GStock.
GStock?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to follow it. And I'm Newton Law. If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, check me out at Newton Law. All right, folks. That's it for this week on Your Leaking Timeline. We're going to go record the podcast now, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. See you then.
Boom.